Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Pursuit Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Antonair. And in today's episode, Ben and I made the trip up to 10 Point Crossbows in Mogador, Ohio. We did a factory tour and had a conversation with the dealer sales manager, Randy Wood. We introduce Randy and talk about the history of 10 Point Crossbows, a family-owned company founded right here in Ohio. Then we dive into what we saw during our tour, the challenges that they experienced during the pandemic, discuss their latest product offerings, and how 10 Point is leading the way in crossbow technology. Please welcome Randy Wood with 10 Point Crossbows. All right, everyone. Like I just mentioned in the intro, we are here with Randy Wood from 10 Point Crossbows here in Mogador, Ohio. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Mogador, yep. And so this is super exciting because we just got done with our tour. Mm-hmm. We're about ready for lunch. And great tour. We had a great tour. So we're going to kind of cover what we saw today and kind of the company history. But Randy, before we get too far, man, let's go ahead and introduce yourself and kind of give the audience a little bit about you.
All right. Well, I'm Randy Wood, and I've been at 10 Point for about 18 years now, and I've done just a wide variety of things here, from customer service to sales to trade shows to, when we're tight on manpower, I'm occasionally back there building bows and things like that. But really have been here since. Yeah, again, 18 years. We've grown a lot in those years,
sure.
and seen a lot of changes, both with the crossbow and the company, and the crossbow market for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Awesome. So, let's get into the tour I'm just excited. I really want to get into this tour because we had a great time today and we got to shoot some sweet bows.
Yep.
So, but before we jump the gun here, let's go ahead and talk about 10 Point, the company history, kind of where it started. Proudly made right here in the U.S. specifically. The great Buckeye State.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and dive in 10 Point history.
Absolutely. So 10 Point Crossbows has been around since the mid-90s. It was originally Hunter's Manufacturing, and we're still technically Hunter's Manufacturing DBA 10 Point Crossbows.
Okay.
And as most of you guys know, we've launched the Wicked Ridge line.
Yep.
Now a bunch of years ago as well, but the history really started with archery. Our CEO's dad kind of started shooting recurve bows and just fell in love with it and ended up being, a great archer, traveled to a bunch of tournaments, both across the U.S. and around the world. And he passed that love of flinging arrows,
yeah,
onto his kids. Both Rick, our CEO, and both of his sisters shot a lot of archery. Rick was an Olympic caliber archer. But that passion from Bill Bednar and that love of archery had him open up Hunter's Outlet,
yeah,
or Portage Archery, as it was originally called, back in the early 60s. And that archery shop is still open today, and that was part of our tour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We moved a couple doors down, but that's really where it started. And then Rick, went to college, shot collegiately and at Olympic level. And came back here and originally started, kind of took over the archery shop, had a big Easton arrow distribution,
okay,
coming out of here, and then started the old Horton Archery out of the shop next door, and then built these buildings that
exactly.
You walked through.
Yeah.
And then he kind of went a different direction and started Hunter's Manufacturing, and kind of on with history from there. And, we've just been the technology driver in the industry, since he started back in the 90s.
Yeah. And I think I saw the other day, when I was kind of doing some research before we came up here, I think since the 90s, I believe it's been over 90 patents, I think is what I've read, but I know currently there's over 50 or so right now.
Oh yeah. It's a moving target.
The arrow puller that we have here behind mm-hmm. us. I mean, from Nox to with the Nitro and the, yep, the XP Nox and just, there's just so many things that they're technology driving.
Absolutely. And really one of the first big patents for us was the AccuDraw, patents with the AccuDraw, which was a built-in cocking mechanism. And that really paved the way. But, we've always, and it's in, it's in our namesake, Crossbow Technologies. We always look at new and innovative things to make the crossbow better. to make it work better for the hunter. And, you know, we spend a lot of money on testing and design and things like that. And so those patents just help us protect that investment and make sure that that design is made the way it should be and only by us. And that's how you protect it.
Oh, definitely. And so let's dive into the tour today because, you know, you're talking about this technology. I mean, we saw some of those parts, especially like the AccuSlide system and the assembly units. I mean, it looked like aircraft work. I mean, it was anodized and it was all some sweet looking high precision stuff. Let's kind of dive into the progression of the building as well, because there was four different stages, if you will, four different rooms, if we will.
Those four different rooms, and they really came in three phases.
Yeah.
The first area that we walked in, and I caught to talk about it, is with that back yellow wall, and it was not very big. And when I got here 18 years ago, we were doing everything in that first room. That was production, that was receiving, that was storage, that was shipping. It was all there. But we only had about 30 people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we would build bows in batches of 12s and 24s. And because 24 was, you know, a full pallet.
Yeah.
And so we just built in 24s and put them way up high in the racks and worked underneath the racks in little workstations and things like that. And it's grown from there. And certainly, we got to that second building that we added, I think it's been 10 or 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was going to be for storage and the front room was going to be really production. And that's the way it worked for a little while, but it didn't take us long to outgrow that.
Not at all.
And in those timeframes, a whole bunch of states were adding crossbow seasons.
Yep.
And so the crossbow demand just kept growing and growing. And our technology was, growing in those same timeframes and narrow crossbows were coming about, like the Phantom CLS back in 2007 and things like that. And so then I think 5 or 6 years ago, we built those last two rooms. They came in one build.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we had the storage room, and then in the back area is where we had shipping and receiving and the dock doors and things like that. So that last one over doubled what we had in the first two. And as you guys saw, it's full and overflowing.
Yeah, you're ready for another building already as it is.
You're probably ready before you filled it up.
It's interesting because those racks, and while they certainly look permanent, they've been moved three or four times.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually, and you guys saw them, but
yeah.
In the past, when we built that building originally and laid the racking, we had tow motors that you would have to get behind the pallet. And we got a whole nother row of racking when we went to the side load tow motors,
mm-hmm.
where they can drive straight up the aisle and the forks stick out the side.
Don't have to have and the they super go wide aisles.
Correct. You don't have to have the turn room. And so we got a whole extra row of racks in there when we made that move. And, that's a lot of pallets in one rack as high as they go.
No, we can feel it for sure because we just had an addition added on to our distribution center. For our stores, and it's just like,
yep,
there it goes.
Right. It's filled up. Where'd all that space go?
Yeah, in a matter of time, it filled up really fast. So let's kind of walk through kind of how we went through. So, I mean, we got to kind of touch on the fact that everything is made right here and assembled right here in Ohio.
That is correct,
But if I'm not mistaken, just about all the products are made right here in the United States.
Yeah, just about the entire bow is built here in the U.S., and we really, really try hard to do everything we can in the United States. You know, there are some things like the optics that you just can't get in the U.S. anymore, and so those come, those come from over the pond. But, our dipping is done just a couple miles up the road.
Yeah.
We work with a lot of machine shops in Ohio and Michigan. You know, we try to keep as much as we can, as close as we can, but just from a logistics standpoint, it's simpler and easier.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're in the U.S.,
and
if you're, out on the West Coast or down South or whatever, logistically it's more of a challenge. So, and certainly in today's age. Most of the parts are here in the U.S. They get put together by our people here. Our engineering department is here. Our customer service department is here. Our sales team is here. We're very definitely a U.S. family-owned business.
Now, was there a reason why? I mean, I know from the, like the Horton connection, but you know, why Northeast Ohio? I mean, I know this is a huge manufacturing part of the country or part of the state, but do you have any idea, like, you know, coming here to Mogador and like the Akron Canton? Obviously, you have Firestone right down the road as well. So there's a lot of like manufacturing done in this portion of the state.
Yeah. Well, the answer as to why we're here is very simple. The Bednars grew up here.
Okay.
They grew up in the Mogador, Rootstown, Suffield area.
Yeah.
And this is home. Literally, their church is, you know, a couple hundred yards away. And they're
the town hall building was right across the street from the archery shop. So
not that it's hard to get across town in Suffield, Ohio, but but yeah, this is home. And again, it's a family owned business, and this is home. This is where Rick and Cindy and Joanna grew up. This is where Bill and Edith, you know, had their home. The archery shop that they built is right here. And why move? You know, you've got good people. You know, you've got a couple of interstates not far away.
Sure.
Like you mentioned, there's, you know, there's machine shops in the area because it's an automotive, you know, manufacturing area. But, you know, this is home.
Well, I thought it was important to say that just because, you know, a lot of companies, you know, I'm looking like the Intels and the Amazons, you know, a lot of these companies are starting to migrate into Central Ohio, Northeast Ohio. But I wanted, and I knew that you were going to say that because I think it's important for the listener to know that these people that are heading this company grew up right here with in good old rural Ohio.
Yeah. I mean Rick's dad built that pro shop that's, that's next door that we still use in 1963. And he grew up in that building. And that's why we are where we are.
Because this
is home.
For sure. Sticking with like the manufacturing, obviously the last couple of years have been very challenging for a lot of companies, you know, us included. I'm sure you guys had ran through some challenges, but I remember you saying during a tour that you were able to safely stay open during that time and continue to promote or, you know, produce product. How has that changed? What's that look like for you right now? Has it gotten any better? Has it gotten any worse?
It's been up and down, and certainly, you know, and I have probably a different perspective of it because my wife is an intensive care nurse, and you know, she would bring home the horror stories of what they were seeing. It was a, you know, it's been an interesting time, and certainly being in having most of your parts made in the U.S., you didn't have to deal with overseas logistics and things like that, but. Yeah, I mean, we were spaced out from a production standpoint where we were able to put up some plexiglass barriers and masks and things like that. But we that assembly line is laid out how you guys saw where we can space people. And so we, you know, we tried to do a good job of taking care of our employees and spacing them out and giving them plenty of room and things like that, but still be able to, you know, be in business and take care of our customers by building and building new bows and taking care of warranty issues and things like that as well. So, and then of course you have the, just the supply chain challenges, that came at a variety of levels. You know, one is just manpower and being able to be open. And the second is, you know, when you can get product. And if you look at one of our high end bows, there's, you know, a couple hundred parts on those things.
Oh, sure.
And it doesn't take but one part that you're missing. And all of a sudden you can't build a bow.
Yeah,
and it can be as simple as a screw.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. You were telling us on the line, like, you know, something as simple as one screw can, I mean, that's going to hold up the entire process of an entire bow. So the 99 other parts could be here, but if that one quarter inch screw isn't there, it's not going out.
No. And we haven't been, we've done a great job of kind of ebbing and flowing, but we've not, in the past 2 years, we've not been as efficient as we could because, you know, when we, the way we would like to build on that production line is to build a couple hundred of a model and run, you know, 200, 300 bows of a certain model down the line. And in a lot of situations, we weren't getting enough parts to be able to do that. So we would build 24 of this and then we'd build 36 of that and then we'll be 96 of this. And then maybe if parts came in for one that we built in the morning, we circle back to that. That's a hot bow that we need to get on the market. And hey, you know, here's 24 more. And then of course, back in the shipping department, they're trying to build orders and you know, they're having to partial ship and things like that. And you know, it's a challenge, but you know, everybody's dealing with it. But I think we've done a good job of again, ebbing and flowing just to get product out there. And, and, you know, we, over the past several years, and certainly it's something that we're very aware of now, you know, on most parts we have secondary and even sometimes third vendors that will make a certain part. And that helps, you know, if you've got, you know, a machine shop that, you know, is dead in the water, you can hit that secondary supplier and say, hey, listen, can you crank that up? And we need these parts. And so that certainly has helped as well. And it's Rick has made in on several different categories or parts, significant investments where he bought a whole bunch up front. You know, and that hurts your cash flow from a business standpoint, but to buy a bigger supply so that you're able to build product. And certainly we looked at the items that have a longer lead time to get a hold of, and we bought deeper in those earlier so that we could stay in business and keep building those.
You were telling us about that, like with the scopes and those things are kind of outside your control.
Absolutely.
And especially if they're coming overseas, you were able to buy in January and then really supply yourself throughout the rest of the year, especially as you get into your busy time and, you know, that summertime. And, you know, as people are starting to ramp up, people are starting to want to buy bows and get more product in their stores. So,
yeah, very definitely.
As we're staying on these bows, let's go ahead. I'm excited. So I got to shoot the Nitro 505 today. I'm still grinning from that. I know you did too.
Yep.
I shot the wrong target, but to be fair, he didn't tell me yet. No, it's okay.
You hit the target well.
Somebody will find that arrow. Somebody will find that arrow in that target. But let's go ahead and talk about the new product lines that you have out. I know we were watching the Turbo. Is it Turbo S1?
Yeah, they were building the Turbo S1s today in moss green.
Yeah, moss green is a beautiful, beautiful green. It's like, it's perfect. Like it's just flat enough, but still has. Oh, it was great.
It's got a great color, but you're right. It's flat. There's no glare on it. It's a very matte finish, and so it doesn't reflect or anything like that. And it blends in with pretty much what everybody's doing out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go ahead and what we have. What are our current products right now? The 2022 products. What do we got pumping out?
Well, the new stuff, and you know, as you were drooling on it, the Nitro 505.
Yeah.
And that's the fastest production crossbow that's out there. You know, it's got the Accu slide, so it's safe cocking, safe decocking.
Yeah, we're going to touch on that some more,
but too. Just a lot of energy coming out of that bow at you know, 500 plus feet a second. You know, we've got, you know, the Turbo that we saw being built today, and that's another new model for us for 22. That's been very well received, and it basically is a hybrid of the successful bows prior, which would be the Viper and the Havoc and the Siege. So we kind of took that narrow Viper front end and the shorter Havoc Siege stock and combine those two because of just, again, the great customer demand for both of those. And the Turbo S1 was the product of that. Very compact, both kind of nose to tail and width side to side. It's got an adjustable buttstock if you want to put some extension plates in. If you're a bigger, longer guy, you can stretch it out a little bit. But just real quiet, real maneuverable, whether it's a ground blind or a tree stand.
It's perfect for a ground blind.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got the new Titan Decock with the AccuDraw Decock or the AccuDraw 50. And decocking has become a huge kind of hot topic in crossbows. And the new decocking system on the Titan really lowered the price point for the guys that wanted to decock. And then below that, we have the new Fury and the new Raider that both have the decocking AccuDraw on them and have been huge fan favorites. We've actually not been able to produce those as well as we wanted to this year. Those are probably our two slowest build bows due to supply issues, but we're rocking and rolling on those now, and we're supposed to be caught up on both of those pretty much by September 1. So, but those bows, really all those new bows have been, you know, absolute home runs. And then you've got the addition, on some of those models of, you know, the high-tech scopes, the Garmin Zero that will pretty much run the world with all the features that it has on it.
Yeah. Good old Garmin.
You've got the Burris scope that does a great job. Also has crosshairs, but then has your electronic range finding and all that as well.
That Burris scope, that's a cool package. Mm-hmm. We have both of those at the store.
Yeah.
Yep.
The technology that goes on the bows now has drastically changed, as well as the technology that goes into the bows. And it's been interesting to see that. We actually worked a little bit with Garmin on the Zero scope, and on the Havoc and the Siege, the cord actually is integrated. You can integrate it into the stock. So with everything else, the cord's on the outside, but on that particular setup, you can actually run the cord inside the stock. There's grooves for it. So
that's pretty cool.
That's pretty slick that way.
All right, everyone, we need to take a quick break from crossbows to thank our sponsor, Toby Burdett, with Burdett Taxidermy and Legends Big Game Recovery. As hunters, we always strive to make the best shot possible, specifically with your 10-point crossbow. But sometimes, things just happen. If you're in Ohio or the surrounding states and you find yourself in a situation where you need help tracking, give them a call at 740-281-6435. Thanks, everyone. Good luck this hunting season. Now let's jump back into the conversation. So we're talking about the technology. Rightfully, unrightfully, crossbows have a certain stigma, if you will, right? And we kind of address this a little bit with different age demographics and things like that. So what, I guess, how do I want to get this? But, you know, you see a lot of people, well, he shot with a crossbow. Well, he shot with a crossbow. It's almost like
it's the redheaded stepchild.
It is the redheaded, and it is.
It's Cinderella.
And, which is funny because, you know, they've been around since forever.
Yeah.
I mean, go watch Game of Thrones. you know? Yeah. It's been around for thousands of years. So I want to kind of, let's just hit that right on the head, because as a father, I could see it being very beneficial for me. And so, but we had kind of talked about the demographic of people.
Absolutely.
What are you guys seeing?
Well, and let me back up a little bit. So when I started 18 years ago, there was just a handful of states. I think it was five states. It was Ohio, Arkansas, Wyoming,
yep.
Georgia had just rolled, and it was one other state, and I'm going to draw a blank on it. We've got a kind of a timeline that we go back and look at, but, yeah, I mean, the stigma was there from the Pope and Young Club.
Yeah.
Is they were just so anti-crossbow, and that trickled down then. Every time a state has talked about expansion, interestingly enough, the bow hunting organizations are the only people that didn't want crossbows in their seasons.
Yeah.
And it's ironic because it's the same conversation that they had about compound bows, you know, 40, 50 years ago.
I'm glad you said that.
Because it's the same argument, you know.
Exactly.
And I would...
That's a great point.
It's crazy. And last I checked, it's not a team sport. What you shoot your deer with doesn't matter to me, and it shouldn't matter to you what I shoot my deer with.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, as long as it's a legal season, you know, shoot it.
Yeah.
And as long as it's legal equipment, go do it. But each time a state rolls over, the stats that are out there that the DNRs kind of keep track of, it's just huge and overpowering. And so it really became a tidal wave. And you know, basically you have open seasons for almost all the states east of the Rockies,
yeah.
Plus Wyoming. But what they see and what you and I were talking about is that crossbows are a great way to get people involved.
Sure.
They are also a great way to keep people involved. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the states that have seasons now, and I'll use Wisconsin as an example, Wisconsin had a 65 and over season for several years prior to having full inclusion in the archery season. And what they found when they looked at the curve of who was buying, you know, archery licenses and deer tags is that at about 40 prior to that, they were losing archery hunters. And the crossbow extends that curve and keeps those guys hunting at 40, 50, 60, 70, even 80 years old. Every year I get pictures and have phone yeah. calls with guys that are out in the woods that are 80 years old shooting a crossbow.
We saw some on that guy's desk down there too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. On the customer service area.
Very mm-hmm. definitely. But the opposite end of the spectrum, and you and I talked to, you look at the Ohio deer harvest, and anybody that's harvesting a deer from, we'll say age 0 to 18, the vast majority of those kills in the archery season are crossbows.
That makes sense.
And then you get to that 18 age and it shifts from about 18 to 35 or 40.
Yeah.
There tends to be more deer killed with a compound bow. And then you get to that 40 age demographic and it shifts back to crossbows. But it's just like you talked about, is that your life is so busy. And so at 20 years old, you have time to go out and shoot in your backyard or shoot in your buddy's yard as much as you want. At 35, you know, you're going to dance recitals and soccer games and baseball games and football games and choir and all of those things, you know, chasing after your kids.
I'm raising my hand because he's speaking directly to me.
Absolutely. And so when you get that rare occasion in October that you don't have 17 events on a day, you can go out
yeah.
and you can grab that crossbow and go, even though you haven't shot it in a month. And you know it's going to hit where you need it to hit. So it lets you continue to hunt. in those, you know, crazy years of your life where you don't have any time, it seems.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but you can get the kids out there and you can take your daughter, like you said, and you can put her in a ground blind. And, you know, maybe she's, you know, she's certainly at 6 or 8 or 10, maybe not be 100% into it all day for, you know, 12 hours. But, you know, she can take a nap. She can lean on you. She can move around a little bit. She can stay a little warmer in a ground blind. But that combination of kids, crossbows, and ground blinds are just wonderful for getting people involved in the sport of archery.
Awesome.
And once you get them hooked, you know, they may fade out in the teen years when they're, you know, busy working and busy going to high school and busy doing sports and things like that. But they're probably going to come back. You know, if they had a great experience when they were little, they're probably going to come back and do it, you know, when they get that free time. But if you don't get them hooked early, then that's, you know, then you're probably not going to get them at age 35. And so the crossbow is just a great piece of getting kids hooked on archery.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, and that's the future.
Right? Absolutely.
Exactly. And if they want to transition and go to a compound or recurve or whatever have you, then by all means, that's the path for them.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the other thing is too, I think there's an intimidation factor when you have this bow in your hand that can shoot 500 feet per second. I mean, not us because we're fine, but you know, I'm looking at like the moms of the world out there that are like, you know, I want to make sure my kid is, you know, safe. I mean, and you touched on a little bit too, but the AccuSlide system, the decocking, the ability to not have that cocking mechanism go slinging back
through. That the cocking system is always kind of under break with the AccuSlide and the new decock system.
And so I think as a dad that's trying to get my kids involved outdoors, I'm teaching them responsibility with firearms. Well, that firearms responsibility carries directly over to the crossbow side of the world, and they're going to shoot this. Now there's a little bit of noise. Like you had mentioned, a lot of the noise is coming from the target that you're hitting.
Very definitely.
But I don't have to worry about my kid being, you know, mule kicked by anything.
You're not going
to
get a scope ring over his eye.
You're not going to get a scope ring over their eye. You know, it's very effective, very effective. I mean, like, you don't have to practice as much. I mean, you still want to be competent in what you're doing.
Right. But you can sight that crossbow in and get it dead on. Then you can hand it to your kid and let them get comfortable with it.
Put the X on the shoulder and let it rip.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's exactly, I think, as a parent, that's everything I want, because there's enough emotion going on in a 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old doesn't know how to handle that. Hell, I barely know how to handle the emotion when a deer comes through, you know, but you know, you just get them like, hey, I don't have to worry about them drawing back. I don't have to worry about them shaking or punching the trigger or being on the right pin. So, hey, put that X right there and let it rip.
Yep.
And I think that's as a father, that's, what more could you ask for? I mean, it's a perfect tool for a kid.
It really is a great way to get them out and hooked. And, you know, there's a lot of other little features on there, like the safety wings and things like that. Safety's always been very much in the forefront of our designs, whether it's, you know, the depth of the front grip or, you know, how comfortable it is, because that's a lot of things people don't talk about. You know, when you shoulder one of our bows, it's comfortable. Your eye lines up with the scope. It's, you know, it's got nice rounded edges. You're not having to kind of move around to find a comfortable spot on it. It's ergonomics has always been one of the pluses in our stock design, but we've got great big wings to keep little fingers and thumbs down and out of the way and those sorts of things too.
Yeah, so. And like I'm glad you said the ergonomics too, because I wasn't finding myself searching for anything, you know, and here's the safety. Okay, it's right where my finger needs to be. Flip it forward. You know, when we were talking about the decocking or cocking the bow back and that third revolution to get the break off, well, that brake button was right. I mean, you're holding it anyway right there. So it's right where your finger needs to be. So you can tell a lot of thought when design and, you know, functionality thought and design and just the purpose of it. It was there.
Absolutely. And it's kind of ironic that we're talking about that and we're sitting here, because pretty much every design will get built in a prototype, and we literally will pass it around this conference room table, and it'll go from one set of hands to the other. And, you know, how's it feel? What do you think? Those sorts of things. You know, length of pull, the reach to the trigger's a little far. You know, it's a little sharp here. Could we round it here? And with the engineering team that we have here, and the ability to make rapid prototypes that we do here is literally, you can make changes in the same day in some situations. Awesome. But it's, that's comfort and, you know, when you read our literature and things, it's our focus is how to make the crossbow work better for the hunter.
Yeah.
You know, that's our goal. You touched on speed a little bit ago, and that's certainly a piece of the puzzle,
yeah.
But that's not a big piece. It's being, you know, having an easy, safe way to cock it. It's having, you know, optics that shoulder in are right there. It's having, you know, quivers with you know, good quick detaches.
Yep.
It's having steady eddies that will support the front of the bow.
It's all the little,
you know,
things.
Keep you steady.
The
absolutely.
Complete package, if
absolutely.
You will.
Well, yeah. Even the perfect puller that's right behind me is, you know, good luck getting targets.
Yeah.
You're getting arrows out of targets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's a way to help you. You know, all of those things.
Oh, sure.
We just try to make the hunter have a better experience.
Yeah. I think the speed is kind of like the selling point, if you will, to some of the, you know, it's that car that can go 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds or whatever. But you know, what really starts to get people is, I mean, to me, the selling point is the AccuSlide system. 500 feet per second. That's fantastic. I mean, just as happy with 470, but having that AccuSlide,
mm-hmm. absolutely,
I mean, it just makes the end user and the experience, I think, so much more enjoyable, because you're not worrying about this thing grenading in front of you, or you're not doing something. I mean, you literally just let go of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It just stops.
It just stops.
You can go either way.
Yeah.
Too, and it doesn't matter.
Very definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, going back to that point.
Yep.
I got at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I got to make my boss, aka my wife, feel comfortable that what I'm handing my child is a very safe thing, and just by letting that go. You know, because they're not going to know. They're just going to see something that looks like a gun, sounds like a gun, and is fast.
Yeah, I
but
mean,
it's like, so
think,
they want...
think about, you know, cranking a boat onto a trailer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you lose that handle, and a lot of situations, that sucker's freewheeling back. And it'll beat the crap out of you, you know, before you can pull your hand away.
No joke.
And it's, you know, kind of the same process, the same situation, only with the, you know, with the AccuSlide and the new AccuDraw decock, it stops.
Yeah, that decocking mech is... huge, not having to be able to shoot into a target to get rid of it. You
absolutely
know, you just pull it out, decock it, and you're done.
Exactly And it was quiet.
Yep.
So you know, if you're walking in the woods, I mean, you could literally do all the have if you felt like you didn't want any situation, and probably you probably should do it this way, you get in your blind, you get in your stand,
no clicking
up, no mm-hmm. clicking, it just goes right through.
Yep.
And then you know
end of the day, take your arrow out when you're done hunting and put it back in your quiver and back it off and walk out of the woods.
Yeah, and you're good to go. Cool. That's awesome. So, you know, there was a race for speed. What do we? If there's any details, what's the trend? I'm trying to get the inside scoop. We didn't get to go in the engineering building. They probably weren't the most talkative guys anyway. But no, what's the what? How do you see the trend? You know, what should things should people or companies be looking for moving forward?
Well.
I mean,
my first statement would be, you know, we've been killing deer with crossbows for a long time.
Yeah.
And if you think back, you know, we were killing deer with crossbows back in the 80s at 250 feet a second.
Mm-hmm.
So speed isn't the end all, you know, don't get me wrong. It's the sexy, it's the, you know, it's what sells. Like you said, it's that big 5.0 engine and the horsepower and all that, but
that Shelby sitting outside.
Exactly. But speed has never been our main focus.
Sure.
Again, design features, narrowness, where they're maneuverable in the stands and things like that. But, you know, some of the designs that we've had, and certainly most notably, the reverse draw patent that we've licensed, the reverse draw gives you a longer power stroke, which makes it easier to generate more speed.
Yep.
You know, you guys saw Gary back in the test room, all those AccuSlide bows get tested before they go out, and you're going to get a little card that has the speed that arrow was shooting. Out of that Nitro 505, but you know, speed sells. You know, at the end of the day, it is what it is, and you know, that's not going to change. But you know, having a bow that's quiet and that's maneuverable and that's easy to cock and that's easy to uncock are certainly more important. You know, there was somebody else that brought out a 500 feet per second bow to the market, although they didn't. You know, it actually didn't get built for a long time. You know, we did our testing and stuff up front, and we do tons of testing on all of our stuff. We've got a machine over there that literally can cycle the crossbow all the time, but getting those fast bows to hold together really is the trick. Yeah. You know, it's easy to make them go fast once.
Yeah.
It's be, you know, making them able to go fast for, you know, days and months forever. And years, is really what matters.
Yeah.
And to have the strings and cables hold up and those sorts of things. And we're always looking at, you know, different materials and different angles of things. And, you know, to just, again, make the hunting experience better for the hunter. But speed is important, but it's not our main focus.
The functionality.
Yep, absolutely.
And tweaking things and making improvements to ergonomics of the bow and how it just feels.
Yep.
And I'm glad you said the testing too, because it wasn't on today, but the robot arm testing the limbs. I know we had said the limbs are probably the strongest point in terms of speed, but it was really neat to see that machine and how it kind of can sort things out, and things are very, very specific and I guess grouped together and tested.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and that robot that checks deflection, you know, makes sure the limbs have the same deflection and that bow is going to perform the way it should. But we do all kinds of crazy tests.
Yeah.
We'll throw bows in a deep freeze and leave them there for a week. You know, there aren't any sitting here now, but it's not uncommon to have a bow laying in here that's been cocked for a month. You know, Rick, our CEO,
he's like, come on in.
The engineer's nightmare. So when he goes hunting here and he's got some land in Ohio, at the end of the day, he throws his crossbow out of the tree stand. Honest to God.
That's awesome.
And I mean, he does. He just launches it out to see what happens. And, you know, we do drop tests and we do freeze tests. We do high cycle tests. We've got a guy that works over in engineering, and literally all he does every day is shoot a crossbow. Just shoots all day. Now, he may be testing a variety of things.
Sure.
But
it's on purpose.
Absolutely. I mean, and he's just cocks the bow, shoots it. And you saw those targets that Gary was shooting at the end of the assembly line.
Yeah.
Over in the engineering department, same thing. Those targets are just mangled because literally he's putting hundreds of shots into a target each day.
Yeah.
And that's a part of what we do, and it's a part of what we've always done.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the consumer shouldn't be the test dummy.
No, exactly. The consumer is only going to get one shot potentially.
Yep.
And so you want to know what you're sending them is going to be what they need for that when that moment arises.
Absolutely. Yeah. It all has to hold together for a long period of time because, you know, we're a family-owned business, and we're really the last family-owned crossbow company out there. And the bows have a limited lifetime warranty. We don't want to put something out there that's going to break in 2 years that we've got to turn around and fix. Our goal is to put something together that we don't see again, except maybe for strings and cables or something like that. You know, we want that crossbow that you've got now. I want you to give that to your son. And, you know, and you said he's what?
He's three. Yeah.
So in 10 years, you can give him that one and you can get a new one.
Yeah. Shoot 700 feet per second. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, so we're concerned about the long-term the longevity of the bow, not just how fast can we make it shoot today.
And I'm glad you said that too, because while we were shooting, that gentleman came in, and we'll touch on this too, but while we were shooting in the pro shop, that gentleman came in and he was wanting to give his bow to his daughter.
Yep.
And he was shooting a nitro with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was
he had a Vengeant from a couple years ago.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I want to give this to my daughter and I want to get a new one. I'm like, perfect,
man. Yeah. I get those calls and emails all the time of guys that are doing that. They're handing their bow down and they're getting a new one for themselves and their kid's going to use it for years. And they'll call me and they're like, hey, you know, when should I get new strings and cables put on it? Or I want to put new strings and cables on it and I want to give it to my kid, or I want to give it to my son-in-law, you know, things like that. And if you, it's interesting because if you look at like classifieds and things like that, you don't see a lot of our bows out there, because they get, you know, they're important and they get passed down to people that matter.
Sure.
And not just, you know,
thrown on
sold
the
in the classifieds. Yep. Right.
Exactly. No. And that's cool, because we're kind of transitioning into the other buildings as we have this conversation. But, you know, you mentioned adding some strings and cables and stuff. And we had a whole team of people dedicated to helping customers send in their repairs if they had any repairs or if they needed to. So that was really interesting to
see.
So everything is done right here.
Yeah. I mean, you've got in the west side of the building, people are taking the phone calls.
Yep.
If somebody needs work done on their bow, and on the east side of the building, the guys are fixing it back there.
Yep.
And again, even all of all of us is here. Customer service is here. Sales is here. Warranty repair is here. You know, it's all done right here, you know, in just three buildings.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so for the local guy or someone that's looking, like, you know, I'm talking to the Pittsburgh market, Cleveland, anyone in Ohio, you know, that Western PA area, you have the pro shop here, mm-hmm. which I thought was really interesting. So people can walk right into the pro shop and test not only crossbows, but I saw some Hoyts up there. I saw some RX-7s and some other brand name, you know, compound bows as well. So you kind of have a full service pro shop here as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's where we started, was the pro shop that Bill and Edith built back in the 60s. Yeah. It's moved two doors down now. But yeah, it's a full line pro shop and has been, and you know, compound bows, tree stands, you know, scents, targets, arrows. They make custom arrows. They'll refletch. Sure. All of those things that small independent shop can give you from a skill set and a knowledge standpoint is very important. But yeah, you can certainly, we've got all the 10-point bows there in every model, and you can take them to the range and shoot them with Tim and Patrick and try them out.
How awesome is that to go grab a bow? I mean, preferably you come down to Hebron, Ohio or Lebanon or Obetz and buy them from us. But how awesome is it? I mean, in all reality, though, like, if I'm a consumer, and let's say I'm not close to one of our retail locations, I'm up here up north or whatever, you know, you can buy a bow that was literally made 200 yards away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
There's a peace of mind there as an end user that knows that's your home team.
Yeah.
You know, it's no different than rooting for the Blue Jackets or you know, rooting for the Crew or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or rooting for the Browns.
Of course, baby.
Is, you know,
Guardians.
We're an Ohio home team.
Yeah.
And even if they have problems, it's even if you were down in Cincinnati, worst case scenario, you could drive across the state in a couple hours and be here, get the bow fixed, and you know, be back in the woods.
Yeah. It's a beautiful drive up here too, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tuscarora, Coshocton County, and it's like...
You probably saw some deer on the way up here, too.
You actually did, didn't you?
I did see one doe.
One doe. It was really foggy. We were pretty socked in on the way up here this morning, but it was... it's a beautiful drive up here. I mean, we certainly didn't mind making the couple-hour trip, for sure, so...
But, you know, archery, like I mentioned, archery is the backbone and the background of this company and the Bednar family that, you know, started it and run it. And whether it's a compound bow, a recurve, or a crossbow, we don't care. Use whatever, you know, use whatever's legal, and get out in the woods and hunt.
Yeah,
that's the most important thing. It's not about, you know, is my deer going to be in the Pope and Young book? Who cares?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
If you've got a good story and you had a great adventure, that's what matters. At the end of the day, have fun and enjoy the outdoors.
Exactly. You couldn't say any better. I don't even know if I want to say anymore, because I mean, that was like the key thing right there.
You know, Rick still goes out west and he'll hunt with a compound bow.
Yeah.
And he'll, you know, it's funny because every once in a while he'll just walk into the range and shoot.
Yeah.
And he's shooting his compound bow, not the crossbow.
He knows what the crossbow is going to do.
Yeah.
I freehanded and tendering dip two times back to back. I was like, okay.
Yep.
I mean, you know what it's going to do.
Yep.
Absolutely. But I mean, yeah, we just want people to be outside and enjoying time with their family and having fun. And that's at the end of the day, that's what makes me feel good. If I'm taking a customer service call, is I know that I've answered a question or helped a guy, you know, get to a shop that's going to be able to work on his bow so he can go out and have a great time with, you know, just himself or with his kid or with his dad, mm-hmm. You know, whatever the case, those moments, those memories are what matter.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I'm glad you said that, because I've told Ben this and I've said it on other episodes too, but like when we go to the store and we see kids and we see sons and fathers or daughters and sons, or, you know, any combination, you know, the moms in there, I know that what we do and what we sell is creating memories for that family. And I couldn't have asked for anything better in my life, because it's just so rewarding to see people, regardless what product they're buying or whatever they're doing, whether it's fishing, hunting, shooting, whatever, you know that you're making memories that are going to last a lifetime.
Absolutely. Well, I've got, and I get a lot of emails and phone calls, and certainly have over the years. I'm not hard to find on the internet and things like that, but I've got a great photo that I still have in my desk drawer from a gentleman from Pennsylvania. And at that point he was, you know, he wasn't young. He was at that point probably 60, and this has been 20 years ago, 18 years ago. And he sent me a photo, beautiful photo, fall colors. He's got a nice deer. He's got the, you know, the bow laying on the deer and just a great photograph. And his son had taken it. And I wrote, at that point, it was a letter. He literally sent me a photograph.
That's awesome.
And over the course of the next couple of years, his son had one of our bows and was using it, but he was hunting with his dad and he was getting those great memories. And he's actually down in Texas now. And his dad, they've since moved. His dad's pretty old now, but his dad's down there with him. But, you know, he still uses our stuff, you know, 18 years later, and he's still making memories doing those things. Now he goes out west, goes out to Wyoming,
yeah,
and elk hunts,
yeah,
with his brother. And every year I get a picture. And it's just awesome, so awesome. That a customer has that type of relationship with us. And that's really what we want. I mean, we want people to have a great time. Same. We want people to make those memories. No. And we love getting those emails and those photographs. And
it's the best part.
You know, dads sending photographs of their kids, and their dads are just doing backflips because their son or their daughter shot their first deer, and we got to be a little piece of that puzzle, which is awesome.
It's so rewarding. It's so rewarding. Like I said, every day that we're blessed to be in this industry, because every day that we go to work, you know, we're helping create memories for people. And it's just,
yeah, you're getting paid to play with the stuff you like to play with anyway. Exactly. You're in the same way. It's great.
Exactly. Well, sir, we've taken up enough of your time today between the 3-hour tour like Gilligan's Island and and filming and podcasting. Islands, so, where can people find you? We'll include all these notes and stuff in the show notes and with our episode information. But you know, where can people find you if they're looking?
It's just 10pointcrossbows.com, all spelled out. And we've got a great website. We've got lots of just facts and information on the bows. We've got videos, care, sighting in, maintenance. The commercials are there. We've got a live chat now on the website. So if you've got a question, you can live chat with Michelle over in customer service and her team. Just a lot of great information on that website that really people ought to check every year, just as reminders and updates and string and cable charts and all of that fun stuff. But just a lot of, you can find us on Facebook and stuff like that too.
Sure. Awesome. And like I said, Hebron, Lebanon, Obetz, we have most of their bows, including the Wicked Ridgeline that we talked about a little bit too. Come in, check them out, shoot them there. If you're in the Northeast Ohio area, I'm going to want you to come drive the Hebron, but if you have to, come over here to 10 Point and check out with these guys too. So,
yeah, it's important to support your local, the local independent shops, because they're the, they're the ones with the knowledge and you know, change your strings, cables, and those sorts of things. And it's hard to get that online.
Oh, for sure. Well, Randy, thank you for your time today, man. We really appreciate it. And, we look forward to continuing to build our relationship with 10 Point and, hopefully swing back the next time you got the 700 feet per second bow.
we're already designing 23 bows. So
very perfect. Awesome. Thanks, Randy. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, that is all we have for you today. We hope you enjoyed that conversation with Randy. We had a great time at the 10 Point facility and are proud to be a dealer of a family-owned business based right here in Ohio. As always, we appreciate you listening. Good luck this hunting season, and until next time, enjoy the pursuit.